Educational Ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I so appreciated the fact that after the chapel yesterday, so many of you came up and said, you know, what you said, Barry, really spoke to me. And there were issues in my life that I really know are there, and I haven't known what to do with them. And so I'm really glad this morning that that we're going to be able to pick up on that. I talked to people like Anthony, to Nick and Ray and several other guys around here, and had an opportunity to talk with some of them about some of these things. But I have this sense that under the waterline, for many of us in here this morning, there are lots of things that are kind of hanging out under there that really are driving our lives, but we're not exactly sure why those things drive us or even what they are. So my hope this morning is, and my prayer is, that as we pick up this whole idea of being under the waterline, that we'll be able this morning for our own selves to identify what those things are and to walk out of here this morning knowing what those are, and with a process of healing already beginning this morning before we leave. Is that a deal? Can we do that? Yes? Okay, good, good. Well, let's, again, like we talked about yesterday, let's just dive in here and say, okay, I'm going to stand on the edge of the pool here, and I'm going to dive into those things that really are the things that are under the waterline in my life, and I'm going to share some of those with you here in just a moment, kind of picking up from where I was yesterday. But really, the thing I want you to see is this, is that really for all of us who are in here this morning, we're all broken. We'll come back to that theme in just a minute. And just a little bit, it's interesting, we all kind of look good on the outside, and we can have ministries and things like Roy talked about, where my life has made an impact on this person or this group of people, and God's used me in certain ways, and that's terrific, and we want the Lord to do those things, and He does use us in spite of ourselves. But the truth is that underneath, all of us have some broken places, and in those broken places, we need to find healing. There's not a person in here this morning that is exempt from that. And it's a journey that we're on. It's not something that happens. And so at salvation now, Jesus is taking care of everything, but the rest of our lives, we're in a process of letting the Holy Spirit inside of us work and do the things He wants to do. Think about it this way from Romans chapter 5, okay? Awesome passage of scripture there about how the Lord wants to work inside of us to bring about His plans and purposes, because He says there in those broken places, because it says there, it says this, it says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, okay, we've already met Christ. So therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. So I'm in this bubble of grace. Grace is surrounding me. I've got this bubble of grace around me. Okay. And I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So I'm on this journey toward the glory of God. Not only so, but I also, on this journey here now, I also rejoice in my suffering, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character. And let's go back to that word suffering just a second. Suffering, okay? What kind of suffering are you talking about here? Well, persecuted for your faith, martyred for your faith, you know, some circumstance where you're broke or something, you know, but at the same time, you have no money or whatever. But also, that suffering can be suffering because of the choices we've made, suffering because of things that people have done to us and they made choices about us, suffering because of the circumstances we're in. There's all kinds of suffering there. And that suffering, and by the way, the evangelical world in which we live in America, this is not true around the world, but in America, we have a very, very weak and anemic theology of suffering. Yeah, there's no place in it. You just get blessed, okay? But there's suffering. And in that suffering, suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which He has given us. Think about that. You know, we talked yesterday about being God's beloved sons, God's beloved daughters. He has poured his love into us through the Holy Spirit, which he has given us. And that Holy Spirit that's inside of us and that love of God that resides inside of us and causes me to be able to say, I am God's beloved son. It's that Holy Spirit, it's that work of God in our lives that really allows us then to jump into my own brokenness and say, you know, there's hope here because God can fix it. God can heal it. Jesus is the wounded healer. He's the one who can bring healing here. So to sort of put a little biblical and theological context to that, we really can find healing from the wounded healer. Now let's go back to what we said yesterday one more time. I'm kind of catching you up in case you weren't here, or just to refresh, and then I want to get back to my story here in just a minute. But really, when you think about what we said yesterday, you know, we want to bring our brokenness, that suffering part of our lives, underneath the blessedness that I am loved by God, I'm his beloved son, he is well pleased with me, and the truth is, I have his love poured out into my heart through the Holy Spirit. So it's in that context then that I can say, I'm going to bring my brokenness underneath the blessing of God. Because I know this for sure, just as we break the bread in taking communion, just as Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, we are taken, chosen, we are blessed by God, we are broken, and then as we experience that brokenness and bring it underneath the blessing, then we can be given as bread to the world. And to the degree that we're willing to bring, to understand our blessedness and bring our brokenness underneath the blessing, it's to that degree that we're able then to be given as bread to the world. You want to change the world here? The place to start is right in here. And say, Lord, you've poured out your love into my heart. What is the capacity inside of me for that love to be expanded in my inside of me? And it's when we delve into our brokenness and we ask God to bring healing in the brokenness and let his love cover over that and bring healing to it, it's there that we begin to expand our capacity to have compassion for others, to love others, and to see God really work in us to really change the world. So with that in mind, I want to kind of come back to some of the things that we were talking about yesterday and kind of jump into my story here in just a moment. Several of you asked me this question. You said, what was the name of that book? And I want to just show it to you. It's called Light, and I encourage you to get it and read it. It's called Life in the Beloved by Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen, Catholic priest, professor at Harvard and Yale. Gave the last 10 years of his life working with special needs people in a community. An amazing guy who speaks probably more to people going into ministry than anybody else I've ever read. And so don't let the fact that he's Catholic throw you off there, okay, if you're stuck on that somewhere. Okay? Let me say a couple other things to you as we're jumping into this. So often, because of our sort of boxed-in theology, we tend to say, here's what we tend to say. If there's something broken inside of you, then there's sin in your life, okay? You got sin in there. Well, not really. Not maybe in the strictest sense, but not in the practical sense. Because, you know, if you're committing a sin of omission and not doing something God wants you to do, then you're responsible for that. If you're doing something, committing a sin, and God, you know it's against what God wants you to do, then you need to repent of that, and you need to repent of this, and turn to God, and get your life right, and those kinds of things. We're talking about something totally different here. We're talking about something that, because of the fall, yes, under sin, something got broken inside of us, and God is in the process of healing that, and Jesus, by the fact that he has poured his Spirit into our hearts, his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, he is already in the process of wanting to fix that. So I want to just encourage you not to put the word sin over that as much as to say, no, I'm just broken and I need healing. Because you don't, the stuff that's under the waterline, like in my experience, if I had known that was there, I would have done something about it. I've loved Jesus since I was 19. I didn't know it was there. I had no idea it was there. So what am I supposed to do with something that's not, that I don't even know exists? I'm not responsible for it till I see it. But once I see it, then I need to ask God for healing for that brokenness that is within me. And in this process, I never did repent of sin because it wasn't like I was sinning on purpose or doing something against God on purpose. I was dealing with stuff that I didn't even know was there. So my hope is this morning as we jump into this that you're not out there just kind of beating yourself up over something that you should have, could have, would have done or done differently, or you were sinful in doing something because somehow our theology sort of put that there. Instead, just think of yourself as a broken person under the fall whom Jesus is healing now. Good? And if we can think of ourselves in that regard, then it'll make a huge amount of difference in the way we approach this, because really the truth is Jesus is the forgiver of sins. He's justified us from our sin, but Jesus is also the wounded healer, and he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And that's what we are. We're wounded people who need our wounds bound up. These are wounds that need healing. And the truth is that if we don't deal with those things as they come to us, then it turns the whole trajectory of our lives in a direction that really we don't want to go, or a direction that God doesn't have in mind for us. So as we deal with these things and we take that hard inner look inside, that we take that dive down deep and say, God, show me what's inside of there, that God will then turn the trajectory of your life in a way that will be able to honor him more, use you more, be of greater glory to him than you would otherwise. Let me go back to this where we were yesterday and talk about the Alice Miller book I mentioned to you yesterday, the drama of the gifted child. So here I was, a kid who didn't even know it, thought I was in a perfect family, great family, and realized that there were wounds in my that came from my parents that my parents probably didn't even know, and there was wounding in the blood transfusion thing. There was wounding in the way my mom tried to have her needs met through me, et cetera, et cetera. My dad and his drive for success, these kinds of things, and really. Dealing with and coming to a place where I actually was able to see these things was a huge, huge thing for me, to be able to see those things. And when I saw them, I was reading this Alice Miller book, Drama of the Gifted Child, and I saw the solution there. And I'm going to walk you through that process here in a minute, but I want to give you kind of the solution before I go back into my story. She said this. She said that you can go to therapy and counseling from now on, but there will never be healing until you begin to mourn what you've lost back here, to mourn your brokenness. And mourning is the one and only key to your healing. Now, that's from a lady who is not only doesn't know Jesus, but she's anti-religious. And she got the scriptural clue there. Because listen to this. Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. Saw the crowds. Went up to the mountainside. Disciples came to him. He began to teach them. And this is what he said. Blessed. All right. Blessed. Blessed are the beloved. Blessed are those who've discovered that, you know, I am God's beloved son. I am a blessed person because I have a relationship with the living God. Blessed. You want to find blessing? He says, here's how you do it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and they'll be satisfied. Those first four parts, pieces of the Sermon on the Mount, first four Beatitudes, are all, each one, about brokenness. Each one about really mourning. Lord, I'm poor. I'm broken. Lord, I'm mourning the fact that I'm a broken person, and I'm mourning that for other people. Not only am I mourning, I'm also, Lord, want to be meek and humble. I want to come to you on my face and say, God, here I am. You bring healing to me. And I say to God, God, I am hungry and I'm thirsty. And unless you feed me, I'll continue to be hungry and thirsty. So bring your feeding to me, because I need you to really feed me here. And when we come with that attitude, then whatever is broken in our lives, God's going to begin to bring healing to it, to that brokenness that's there, and bring blessedness out of it. And you will be blessed as you enter in to this diving in process. Let me pick up the story from where I was yesterday and just simply share with you what happened to me after I made this discovery. I said to you yesterday that I ended with this, that my friend Jeff, my counselor, said to me, Barry, says, you can have all these cognitive mental thoughts, and then there's this emotional response to those mental thoughts, but you can have these thoughts, but there's really no change that takes place inside of you until you connect up the emotions with the mental thought. And that becomes an insight. It's a place of transformation right here. It's a place where healing takes place. And so I had all these thoughts about my mom, my dad, my early childhood, my things that I was seeing about myself and the way I treated other people, things that I just hated that were a part of it. I'm going, I don't like this. And this is bringing great consternation to me at this point. And I had all these thoughts, and I said, God, I want to do something about, but I do, honestly, Lord, I do not know what to do. I have these things floating around in my mind and I can think them through, but I don't know where to go with them to connect to my emotions, to my thoughts. And that insight came to me after a couple of days of really living in this consternation as I was discovering these things. My wife, LaWanna, had gone to bed. And I went downstairs and I said, Lord, I need a breakthrough here. And I knelt down beside the couch in our den. And the first words I said was this. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm 63 years old. And I don't even know who I am. And with that came mourning and healing, mourning and healing. I mourned those things that happened to me when I was a child. And the next thing that came out of my mouth was, Lord, I have no bitterness, no anger toward my mom and dad. They had no clue what they were doing. So this is not about blaming them. This is about seeing the things that were and dealing with them before you. And I began to just pour out my heart to God. In fact, a little bit later on, I wrote down some things that I want to share with you. This is kind of my thought process that night as I was kind of walking through this. And I'd said this about forgiving my mom and dad. Before I jump into this, though, I want to give you one illustration that I wanted to say yesterday but didn't, out of Henry Nouwen's book, because in his chapter on brokenness, and this is key to what I'm going to say to you, in his chapter on brokenness, he ends it by telling about taking his friend, who he's writing to in this book, taking his friend to Leonard Bernstein's mass at the Kennedy Center. And he recounts this. He says, this is a perfect picture, a beautiful picture of how you bring your brokenness under the blessing. It kind of embodies this. And in this illustration, He says, he recounts what happens there. There's a priest that comes out on the stage, and he's all lifted up by the people that are under him, and he has on all of his vestments and all of his clerical ministerial robe, as if, you know, like sometimes we get all this religious stuff around us. He's got this all of his vestments on, and he's being lifted up, and people are praising him, and then he's carrying this glass chalice in his hand, and all of a sudden the people under him slip. Those people let him down and let him fall, and he falls to the floor. And as he falls to the floor, all the vestments fall off, and the glass chalice breaks on the floor in front of him, and everything goes dark. And a few moments go by, and he appears again in nothing but blue jeans and a t-shirt. And he's sad. But then he looks at the broken glass that's on the floor and stares at it for a long time. And then he says this: I never realized that shattered glass could shine so brightly. See, God wants to take the brokenness that's in us and let us be shattered glass on the floor. And he wants to let his light shine upon it. So as a result of that brokenness and our transparency about it and his light shining on it, he uses that transparency, our brokenness, to bring healing to ourselves and healing to others. So I'm there on my knees. I'm asking God, poured out my heart to God. God, I don't even know who I am. I forgive my parents. And then here's what I said to the Lord at that point. I said, I mourn that my life is the shattered glass on the floor and that I'm like the cracked pot in the Old Testament. I'm so shattered that there is nothing there to identify who I am. That all these years I've lived in my false self and I did not even know it. It's not that I don't have self-esteem. I don't even know who I am. But then I said to the Lord that I accept that about myself. The blood transfusion that separated me from my mom and that initial bonding, her false need to try to control me because she could not do so with my dad, my dad's own false view of his need for success and achievement that was passed down to me, their toxic relationship that put me in the middle of trying to fulfill both of their life goals, the weight of that over the years, yet the sense that of that has, through my strength and endurance to sustain over the years, has kept me going. That drive for achievement and success that kept me going. Yet now I have driven those closest to me to distraction and frustration with my control and manipulation. It was like, I have to do this. I have to make this happen. And to me, it felt like it wasn't even an option. I was compelled. And then how all of that success is like shattered glass on the floor. I really began to sob when I confessed that I am nothing, that I have nothing. I am the sum of that shattered glass. And then the Lord began to speak to me so clearly, and more tears came. All this time, there were lots of tears. And he said this to me: I have already replaced it all. You already have it. You are my beloved, and I am pleased, well pleased with you. You are full of the love that I have for you. That is who you are, my beloved. And that was such a sense of relief and release in me that I got it from there and just a bit later, it's about 45 minutes or an hour, I went to bed, I slept like a baby, and the healing from the morning had already begun. I woke up the next morning, and I was seemed like every time I sort of opened my eyes, tears came out. And I opened my eyes that next morning and I began to think about, well, then who am I? And the Lord just spoke so clearly about that to me. This is my true self. Okay, achievement, performance, and all those kind of things, that's my false, has been my false self. But who is my true self? Here's my true self. I am shattered glass on the floor, utterly broken, but glued back together by the grace of God. And inside that container of God's grace, I am filled up with His love for me. Let me just tell you something. My life has been different since that time. I'm very aware that I can fall back into the achievement, the performance, the success, the, you know, make it happen, put the hammer down kind of approach, type A personality approach that I'd used all those years in my life. I'm capable of doing that. But the Lord has just recalibrated my life and continues to bring this incredible healing there, really on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. Whereas before, here's Barry, before I was driven by achievement, I was driven by performance, I was driven by making it happen, I drove people to distraction with my control, manipulation, and all these things. And now over here, it's a whole new ballgame. A whole new picture, a whole new sense of myself in terms of who I am, because I'm God's beloved, I'm loved by Him. Not only am I beloved by Him, but now relationships are what's really important. And so the person in front of me is the important person. Not my projects, not my tasks, not all the things I'm driving to do, but the person that's in front of me is what's really, really important. And not only is that true, but where I was always just driving and pushing and uptight about this, that, and the other thing, God has just given me a sense of relaxation where it's like, just relax because I have it. You're not in control anymore, Barry, but I have it all under control. And if it's going to happen, it's not because you're going to make it happen. It's because I'm going to make it happen. You can operate in your false self. You can operate in your true self. The key to operating your true self is when you dive down under that waterline and you go, Lord, you know, here's where I'm broken. Here is the broken part of my life. And right now, I'm going to call it what it is, be honest about it, define it, and then say, God, I'm going to mourn it. I'm going to mourn it. And as I mourn, I'm going to count on, because I am your beloved son, with the love of your holy, through the Holy Spirit flowing in and through my life, as I mourn it, you're going to bring healing. You're going to bring life. You're going to bring light. You're going to bring all that you need to bring into that, so that even though I'm shattered glass on the floor, you're going to put all that back together into my true self, not my false self. That I'm not going to be this person over here anymore. I'm going to be this person. Not because I'm making some change, but because I'm simply mourning and grieving what that was and saying, God, you're the one who's going to bring that about in my life. So I'd like for us to take a few minutes, the rest of our time actually, and just simply spend it in asking God to do a good work in each one of us, that He would bring us to that place of seeing who we are from His perspective, identifying those broken places and saying, Lord, I choose to dive down under the waterline and ask you to do your work in me in order to bring about the change that you want to bring about. And it won't be because I make the change. It'll be because you, under your blessedness, your love in me, because you make the change. So here's what I want to ask us to do. A couple of real kind of simple things that I think will get us started in this. And this is something where this doesn't have anything to do with what I say to you. This is between you and God. you and what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. You bringing your brokenness under the belovedness of who you are. If you need to affirm that belovedness before you get to the brokenness part of it, have at it. That's awesome. You know, just read Romans 5, 1 through 5 and say, that's who I am. And then, or Zephaniah 3:17, and affirm that about yourself. So how does this connect with where you are and who you are? Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you, where's the shattered glass? Where are the broken places? And for just a few minutes, I want you to concentrate. If you have pencil and paper, it'd probably be a great idea to jot these ideas down, just these thoughts that come to you from what God's going to say to you, just to jot those down. If you don't have pencil and paper, then just write them on the scroll of your mind there. But here's what I want to ask you to do. Just simply say to God now, Lord, you know, where's the shattered glass? Where are the broken places? Where are the wounds in my life from my past? Where are those? What are those? And I'm going to ask you right now just to reveal those to me, to show them to me. As I offer them up to you, Lord, I'm going to ask you if you would, in fact, show those to me. And we're going to take about 2 or 3 silent minutes here. That can seem like an eternity in a place like this, but we're going to take 2 or 3 silent minutes just to be quiet before God and say, Holy Spirit, show me where that shattered glass is on the floor. Show me where I'm broken. Dive under the waterline of my life, Lord, and bring those things out. And just say, it may just be the beginning of the process, may not be the end, but just say, Lord, I'm open here. I want to know those broken places in my life. Show them to me now. And Lord, do that, please. In these moments, in this place, with these people, please do that. I want us to continue on in the mode of where you are, just in a spirit of prayerfulness there. So you don't even need to look up. Just keep praying. Just keep talking to God about these things. And here's the second question I want to ask you. And then we're going to respond to it in a quiet and private way. But I want to ask you to ask yourself the question. Of those things that are written down either on the paper or in my mind, those broken places in my life, are you willing to begin to mourn those now? Are you willing to begin to step in there where the healing can take place? Say, Lord, I want to begin to mourn this. I don't even understand all these things. You don't have to understand it all. I don't even know how all this connects. I don't have any real emotional connection with this yet. I'm not even sure what this is all about quite yet. But I want to begin to mourn these things so that the healing can begin here, now, today. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. As you're ready, over the next couple, 3 minutes, I'm just going to ask you to just, if you want to begin that mourning process, that you just turn it in your seat, get down on your knees before God there at your seat and say, Lord Jesus, I know these are broken places, and I want to begin the mourning and get on your knees and just talk those back to God. Just say, God, you can say it out loud. You can say it silently. It doesn't matter. But just talk those back to God. Say, God, I am broken here, and I begin to mourn those broken places now. If that's the desire of your heart, that's you see that as where you are and what you need to do, I just want you to just turn in your seat when you're ready and get down on your knees and say, God, would you begin that mourning process now? Would you begin healing me now as I begin to mourn? I want to close this morning by simply asking all of us to pray this prayer out loud to God together. Just start with me like this. Say, Lord Jesus. Okay, all together, Lord Jesus. I am your beloved son, daughter. I belong to you. I affirm my security in your love. My heart is filled with your love by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift from you. Honestly, Lord, there are lots of broken and leaky places. Some of those, I don't even know what they are. But right now, I choose to want to know. Would you reveal those things to me? Show me who I am. Reveal my false self. Those things that take me away from you, that are not a part of your love and your goodness to me. And take me toward your love. Take me toward mourning. Take me to healing. Take me to wholeness. Lead me to that place where my capacity to love others is expanded greatly because you've healed the broken places in my life. Lord, honestly, I don't even know what some of those are. So this morning I want to start on a journey. I want to start on a journey of knowing the broken places. Reveal those to me and give me a mourning heart, a hungry heart that wants to please you more than anything else in the world, even to the place that I'm willing to take that hard look inside and let you do your work in me. Lord, take me under the waterline. In your name I pray. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for many of you for praying that prayer, for beginning the journey. And for many of us in here, it will be an incredible journey toward God's wholeness in your life. And I'll be praying for you that God will continue to do that work that hopefully He has started here today. God bless you guys. Love you. If we can ever serve you in any way, be delighted to do so. Thanks. You're dismissed.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.